Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and I'd like to ask you, are you still pondering about this crazy time we're in? Do you have questions? Or isn't it wonderful? Aren't we having a great time? Isn't everything normal again? Well, I don't know. I don't think so. And so I've assembled our team back, who've been here before, to talk about what is normal, not even about ourselves and why we're doing the show. Why do we want to be here talking about what's going on in the world in ways that a lot of people don't like? And maybe, you know, we'll be more disliked for this show. And what does that mean to us that people are in such disagreement? So to help us talk more about this are the three guests that I had last time, and I'm so happy. It's a family that I just feel so good with. Alexander Dunlop, who the audience knows for years now, we've done shows mostly about source cards. Alexander, welcome back.
Thank you, Peter. So I'm having a little coughing fit as you introduce me.
Well, okay, sorry. But at least you're talking. All right. And Hope Fitzgerald, who also has been on the show before, certainly as the wonderful developer of the Infinity Wave and has great things to say about super consciousness. And Erasmus Stylianosis. Did I get it right this time?
Close, Stylianosis.
Stylianosis. All right, someday my old mind will click in to getting the name right. So, and Erasmus, you have a blog, you have all kinds of things going on out in California and worldwide that you're very involved with, and we'll certainly tell people how to tune in to your programs.
Cool, thanks.
So let's start talking about what I was referring to. What are we doing here talking about things that most people don't even want to hear and will be angry that we're talking about? You know, and I'm talking about the struggle in the pandemic and our fears of vaccines and our worry about the future and about the new rules that are coming down that might be so limiting to so many of us who are unvaccinated, and I'm one of them. And Congress is about to pass, or seemingly about to pass, a law that if you're unvaccinated, you can't travel on planes, trains, or buses, at least interstate or international. Why? I mean, what is it about us unvaccinated that is so dangerous? Nobody's talking. You know, it's not, oh, we're not supposed to ask why you're dangerous because we know you are. You know, we know that because you're unvaccinated, you're the dirty ones. But what does that mean? You know, when Pfizer did their trials and they found that the difference between the people who were vaccinated and unvaccinated was 1%. But they distorted their statistics, but you can look at them yourself and say, oh yeah, this is 1%, but they knew how to distort them in a way that they could get away with it unless you looked. And so the unvaccinated are really, the difference between us and the vaccinated is 1%. Nobody wants to know that. So do you guys have any ideas about that? Anyone want to speak up?
About why it is?
Well, why are we, you know, what is this propaganda that people have bought into, and why? And we spoke about, you know, social conformity in the last show, and so many people just want to cling to each other now because of society being so chaotic. So let's cling to something. So let's cling to these supposed truths about how bad the unvaccinated are, so we know who to hate. We know we'll cling to each other and be against them. You know, but why do we want to be us? Any of us who are unvaccinated, why do, you know, and I have great compassion for people who are vaccinated and know better, but they had to for their jobs, their families, and travel and things that they felt they needed to be vaccinated for. And yet, you know, so I'm not saying that, you know, only us unvaccinated are people who understand what's going on, but why do we, who are we? You know, why are we taking any kind of stance against something that everybody seems to be in favor of?
You know, Peter, you said something, I just wanted to comment on it because I've had this conversation multiple times. You said a phrase, you said they had to. Now, I understand for some people it's more challenging based on economics, et cetera. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to a choice. We're choosing to, and other people are choosing to because of their work, because of their families. And I think it comes down to what level of discomfort and inconvenience each person's willing to deal with in regards to this whole thing as well.
Exactly. And it's hard for those of us who don't have a job where we're mandated to be vaccinated, mm-hmm. and are tossed out without any privilege at all.
Yeah.
And for so many people, that's too hard a choice.
For sure.
Yeah. And so that's why when I say they felt they had to, it's that it's too hard a choice.
Yeah.
And so I have great compassion for that.
Yeah, to me, Peter, it comes down to where our faith lies. And we all have faith, whether we acknowledge that word or not. It's not a spiritual word. It's faith. And what will support us in life was down to our being based on how do we find.
Well, what do you mean?
Safety.
What
do you mean? How do we find security? You know, faith. We have assumptions that we make.
Right.
It's made or unspoken, maybe even unconscious. But we have certain assumptions that we make about what's going to keep us safe and secure in life. And I think that's a big dividing point of who wants to trust in what the authorities say or what quote unquote science says, right. What the experts say or what the government says. So people want to have faith in these entities and these things. And so they want to believe and they want to trust these things. And those of us who have maybe a deeper faith, maybe a faith in the human spirit, maybe a faith in God, maybe a faith in the universe, however we articulate that. So we don't put our faith in these quote unquote experts and these authority figures. So we have a faith in a different place. I would say it's a deeper place.
I call it being the spiritual warrior. Because you have faith, it's a warrior for your faith, and but it's a warrior to stand alone in your faith, you know. And many of us feel very alone right now, and what is it, you know, about us? And I saw a video of a woman who was a tarot reader, and she was asked to pull cards on why are we being those of us who are different. And she says, some of you are more fearless and willing to take the arrows. And and I know I've taken many arrows in my life, and somehow I don't feel as vulnerable maybe as so many people do to these kinds of arrows.
Yeah, I can speak. Oh, no, Hope, you can go.
Well, I think most of us have already had to withstand arrows at other points in our lives. You know, we've already sort of had to work that muscle of what it's like to stand for something and stand for your faith, as you said, Alexander. And I think, you know, and I'm talking about having, maybe even having had to do this in various lifetimes. It's strange that there is a kind of familiar feeling to it. I don't like it. I don't want it.
That's interesting.
It's darned familiar. And, you know, I was listening to a wonderful, wonderful interview the other day, which I'll send to you guys. Foster Gamble was interviewing Max Egan and Ricardo Bossi down in Australia and talking about what the heck is going on down there. And one of the things that Max Egan says is, you know, vaccinated, unvaccinated, these are all big distractions, because what's really that choice point you talked about, Erasmus, is the most important thing, because every little choice brings us closer to our soul's choice, our soul star in a way, or further away from it. And this is a, he says, and I've heard this in different language from other people, but this is a battle for souls. And so it's funny that every time, I mean, for myself, I reclaim the stance that I'm in, I feel stronger and stronger. And one of the things that Ricardo Bossi, it has started this thing called Australia One, and it's a whole movement that's going on in Australia that's a like on an alternative level, a way of being of creating a society that is sort of beyond government. It's a beautiful, beautiful plan. And he said, you know, it takes courage to try to lie, because you have to cover up the lie and all that, but it doesn't take courage to speak the truth, in his opinion. It was an interesting flip. That, you know, when you just stand for truth, you just are truth. And that's not that, I mean, once that's it, that's all you've got, then it's not as hard as having to finagle, you know, a kind of untruth.
Well, that's really interesting, Hope. I'm going to build on that and say that if we've found a way to be true to ourselves already, then we have access to that.
Yeah.
And that may be the difference, is that we have access. We know what it's like to feel something is true and to resonate with truth within our being. Mm-hmm. Then we have that ability, even like you said, that muscle.
But I think that there are so many people out there who disagree with us, who feel like they're in their truth. And yet, you know, they've bought into, you know, the mainstream truth about, like, the unvaccinated being dirty ones and have to be isolated from everybody else. You know, it's like, it's not, what truth is that? And so, you know, people will claim they all have truth. But to me, you know, you can only claim truth if you're willing to ask the deepest questions, if you're willing to go behind the surface and not just take the word of the government or the pharma companies and really dig down and see what's behind it all. And a lot of people, you know, they want to buy into the fact checkers who are owned by the establishment to make everybody else wrong. So they say, I don't even have to look, because the fact checkers have shown me that anyone who agrees with you guys has been debunked.
Yeah. Peter, you said something before about asking the deepest questions. And Alexander, you brought up self-knowledge. And it's like, I really believe, and I don't know if I said this in the last one or I've said this somewhere else, is that, you know, people are willing to accept lies outside of themselves to the degree that they accept the lies within themselves. So how deep have people been going inwards to ask the questions about who they are and why they are, et cetera, et cetera. So it goes back to shadow work, goes back to healing your trauma, which is like, we all experience those arrows, but how many of us have been able to pull them out, you know, and heal to a certain degree. So that's just what I found when I look around, is that there may be a lot of intelligent people out there. But I find that the people that have done the deepest amounts of inner work, and maybe there's some soul journeys involved there, like how deep have you gone over lifetimes, are the ones that are willing to see in a different light, in a new way. That's just what I found.
When I interviewed Ole Damegaard, and he's one of these worldwide experts about conspiracies. And I said, well, look, a lot of conspiracies are fake. You know, they're not true. And a lot are. And how do we know the difference? And he said, that's why you can't always go on how things look. You really have to have a deeper soul knowing and an intuition. So when there's a rat, you can smell it. And so many people don't know how to do that. They don't have that deeper soul intuition to be a warrior for their spirit.
Well, that's true, Peter. And I want to build on something you said a few moments ago, or a question you asked: how do we know what's true? And when different people have different truths and claim that they have the truth, what characteristics and qualities can we look for that will show us who really is standing in the truth? And our history, our kind of our society, actually, the American way, the Bill of Rights, gives us some strong clues that one way we'll know that we're really standing in the truth is that we respect other people who disagree with us. We'll allow other people to speak their own mind and have their own beliefs. That's one big, strong clue that we're actually standing in our truth. And the people who censor and repress anything that they disagree with, that's a big clue that they're not standing in their truth.
That's wonderful to know that, to understand that. Why aren't we allowed to talk about it without the fact checkers telling us that, right away, that don't listen to the other side because they're debunked? And so that shuts down the conversation.
Right. And truth can withstand questions.
Yes.
And that's a really good point, Alexander.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I think that we should all be asking that, you know, maybe we should get, you know, this whole fact checker thing really is amazing, that there are so many people who won't even listen to us, or people who speak like us. Right away, they'll just say, you're misinformed, you know, that you don't know what you're talking about. You're full of all of this conspiracy stuff, and you have no idea that the truth really is what the government's telling us. And yet you don't see the government having any debates with anybody. So what's going on in this world that people are so frightened to think?
And I want to respond a little bit to your Asimov's, because regarding the inner work, and one thing that I've noticed is that there's a huge swath of younger people in their 20s, maybe early 30s, who are just completely caught by the hook of this, and they haven't really, you know, they haven't had life experience to have that inner work and all of that. And that to me is one of the most crushing things about this, because they're the ones who are going to end up being the worker bees here. You know, they're going to be, I don't like to think about it, but I'm going to just say that we have some outside help. You know, I know this for a fact, because that's the information that I've received directly. We do have help in the other realms, let's say, for this transition that we're in the midst of. And so, because, you know, I would become completely depressed and in a fetal position if I didn't believe that our ability to stand in not just truth, but in light, in goodness, in love, really, really does make the difference. It only takes 10% of us to hold fast, to kind of be the anchor around which the whole thing will then turn. Mm. And I think we're close to 10% on this planet of people who are wide awake.
Well, we're also coming to a time astrologically or what, you know, in terms of numbers where the planets are moving, that we're coming into a time of greater clarity and realization of truth. And so I think a lot is going to crack soon, that more and more people are going to realize and smell the rat, because the rat's going to become much too odorous.
And I've heard from a bunch of different sources that they're on very shaky ground. One described it as if you're on two horses and the horses are separating and they can't maintain the control. So that's why this, you know, bills like the one you talked about and the draconian measures that are going on in Australia and Israel and Germany and Austria, you know, they're trying hard to grasp, get the last
right,
you know, dominance. And but it ain't gonna work is what I'm hearing more and more. So
yeah. Well, yeah. Yes, Erasmus.
I would say I agree with what you're saying, is that you see what's been happening, and I feel like they've turned up the nozzle on fear. And you had mentioned the word dominance, but a different context. It made me think of, I shared this picture the other day of, you know, when you swipe left on your iPhone and it gives you like mainstream news, like headlines, and pretty much all of them are fear mongering. And this one had said, CDC data indicate Omicron is starting to eat into Delta's U.S. dominance. And it felt like I was reading about companies' market share. You know, like, oh my God, there's a competition between Delta and Omicron. And it seemed ridiculous to me.
Well,
why does it seem ridiculous?
What?
Do they have different colors and team banners?
No, I feel like they
Delta.
I didn't read the article, but maybe they did. You know, it's just interesting, like how they worded it.
Right.
Felt really odd to me.
It's like they're in the playoffs right now. Delta.
But that might be the point, is that we're getting to a point where for more and more people, it'll just look silly. And they'll say, you know, I'm done with this game. So let's hope so. Yeah, but in the meantime, I do want to come back to, just for the audience to know who's here talking. So could you each just do like a 30-second intro of how people can find you and what you're up to? Erasmus, can you start?
Sure. My name is Erasmus Leonesis. I live in Topanga Canyon, California, right outside of Los Angeles. So first off, anyone that's in Los Angeles, I'm a trauma-trained body worker. So I work with different modalities to help you release excess stress, tension, emotional trauma from the body. So I work privately, so you don't have to worry about needing a mask or any of that to work with me. So if you're here, give me a holler. And the most important thing I'm working on right now is I have my podcast called hereforthetruth.com with my co-host Joel Rafiti, who lives outside of Sydney, Australia. And, you know, we explore a lot of different topics around self-knowledge, health, freedom, conspiracy, the occult, divination, just different people from around the world that we interview. And our interviews, it's been fun. So you can check me out there, hereforthetruth.com.
Great. Thanks, Erasmus.
Yeah.
Hope.
Yeah, I have a website, www.we-infinity.com. That's WE-infinity. And I'm up to a whole bunch of things. Every Monday night, I do a free meditation that is a channeled meditation from an incredible group of beings called the Ahmad. And these are really, I haven't figured out a proper word, uptunements. I don't know what to call them, but they're powerful and wonderful. As I said, they're free. So sign up to the website and you'll get those invitations. I also do monthly themes and I have guests on those themes. And this month is joy. And so I send out a newsletter on that. I'm also a master dowser and I help people to make decisions in their lives from a higher perspective, from a greater consciousness. So I channel that information as well. So that's me.
Great. Thanks, Hope. And Alexander.
Thanks, Peter. My name is Alexander Dunlop. And with my wife, we have started thesourcecards.com. And the source cards are what you would know as the playing cards. But instead of playing poker, we're here to play the game of life. And when you go to thesourcecards.com, you can look up your cards for free and get started mastering the game of your life. When you know your cards to play, you know your soul's blueprint for this lifetime.
That's wonderful. And I certainly love knowing my cards and live by them. And one of the reasons I'm here is that I'm a jack of spades, which is the jack in the box. And it's about consciousness. And I just have to be out of the box. And so, and this is Peter Roth, you know, your host of Energy Stew. And I have Heart River Center, which is my healing school and intuitive school, and Monday night classes every Monday night. And this radio show, which I love, I'm so proud of it and proud of being able to interview such wonderful people. So this has been great talking with you guys. I'm sure we will assemble again, because I think there's going to be some wonderful opportunities to talk more. So thank you very much for being here. And I want to thank my audience for listening, and have a wonderful holiday, everybody.